This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Oh, it just keeps getting more and more interesting, the trial of Karen Reed. Here we are into week number three, and Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is here to discuss it with us. But before we start talking, Jennifer, of course we have to do this. We have to thank our sponsor again today, Karen Reed Vodka. Karen Reed Vodka, where memory fails, confidence prevails. Karen Reed Vodka. It's always good to have a supporter on the program. So, where do we begin with all of this? Last week, we saw a lot of people taking the stand. Jen McCabe, of course, I think the star of the week. Let's start out there. Let's start out with her testimony. Let's start out with the prosecution and how that was walked through. I felt it was really painting an emotional picture far better than what we saw in trial number one with Lally. I think he really laid it out well. What was your reaction to that portion of the questioning?
Well, I agree, Tony. And the number one thing he did to start off that wasn't done last year, he made Jen McCabe come alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mother of four daughters, a coach, a prior teacher, somebody who had a life and a very busy life, and somebody that it didn't make any sense would all of a sudden be caught up in a huge murder plot,
mm-hmm.
and be coordinating witnesses and making sure things happened in a certain way. I mean, I think many people could relate to Jen McCabe as, you know, the mom next door.
Yeah.
The coach that coaches your kids and somebody that you really like. Mm-hmm. On the stand, and she looked a lot different, to yeah. be honest.
Mm-hmm.
She lightened up her hair.
Yeah. I think she was more comfortable too. I think, you know, she's been through this ringer so many times now. It's not, she wasn't tense. She was, I think, just kind of over it, really. Just like, here's the reality, kids, whether you like it or not. And a lot of people did not like those little pieces of reality there. Let's talk about, the other side of this. I don't know where to go with it, because I see the comments of, and where Jackson was trying to go with this too, of she's lying, she's being untruthful. I'm still trying to understand about what, and what are they trying to say? Where are they trying to say it? Because it seems they're arguing a lot of semantics that really don't have a whole lot to do with the case. Can you bring up anything that you can argue where they're saying this is not true? What's your rebuttal to that?
Yeah, let me go through a few of them, the ones that they really highlighted. Mm-hmm. One of them was whether she had lied to the FBI, to the grand jury, mm-hmm. about the "I hit him" statement, right? Because there were semantics, as you said. Was it really "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him"? Or was it she started talking about whether she had hit him? And so part of that, she tried to explain to Jackson and the jury that, listen, it depends on exactly what I'm asked. And I always wonder, just think how few people, Tony, have ever been on the stand and been grilled, have ever been in a grand jury room, mm-hmm. and been a witness. It's just so, you know, minuscule how many people ever do it. And it's so hard. You're sitting there looking at, over a dozen people. They're grilling you. They're asking you questions. Yes, the prosecutor is asking you questions and there's no defense on the other side. But you can imagine what the people in the grand jury, they get asked questions of you.
Mm-hmm.
They get a dial down, they get a drill in, and it's very formal. And it's hard, especially for somebody who has never testified before.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, on the stand, she was so confident and she was so comfortable. But that was one of the points they tried to make. Well, you didn't say three times like you're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she explained, right, Tony? She said, listen, the more you think about it, the more particulars you're asking me about, I'm going to give them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the words I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she did a great job handling it.
And I find it interesting that they're still sticking on this point, because Karen Reed herself has even said, I know I said I hit him. Like, that's her literal sentence. I know I said I hit him. And then she also has said many times of the variations of everything she was saying. So it's, to me, this is not like an out there thought that she would have exclaimed these things. And it doesn't necessarily make it a confession, but it makes it part of this cornucopia of chaos that was going on in that moment of time where she's trying to figure out what the hell happened. Maybe it was somewhat confessional on her part. I don't know. But the words uttered out of her mouth, whether Jackson likes that or not, by Karen's own admission after the fact, why are we still on this? Because all it takes is someone to press play on a clip, and there she is saying, "I know I said I hit him." Why are we drilling on this? I don't seem to think that this is helping the defense of Karen Reed in any way. I feel like Jackson put her back up on the stand, Jen McCabe, and Jen McCabe just had a second opportunity to reiterate everything she just said to the prosecution to drill it in even harder to the jury.
No, you're exactly right. What case, I can't think of one, have we seen the prosecution's witnesses corroborated by the defendant?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have here. You have McCabe saying she said it, and then they play the clip. It's that 10-second long clip where she says, and she's laughing and being silly to ID Discovery. She says, "Well, I know I said I hit him, but did I really say it as many times as they said I said it?"
Yeah.
And it just is something that I don't think any jury can possibly overlook. And it corroborated Jim McCabe.
It completely did. And they know that material is there. Is Alan Jackson just going out there seeing what sticks? Like, I'm going to argue this really hard, despite the fact that there's overwhelming evidence that's going to contradict everything I just said, and hope the jury remembers more of me saying it than them hearing this over here. I'm wondering if that's the strategy at this point, because they seem to be kind of up against a wall.
Well, his strategy is he tries to really drown out the witness.
Mm-hmm.
I bet if you took the exact number of minutes and hours, maybe, that Jim McCabe spoke, it would be 1/8 of the words that Alan Jackson spoke.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he goes on these filibusters. There's not even really a question. She had to warn, meaning the judge had to warn him multiple times, stop with the comments,
mm-hmm.
because it becomes his testimony.
Yeah.
And that's what he's hoping for, that everybody will remember his testimony, not her answer.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing fast and loose with the rules because I think he knows he can. And he's going just far enough where it's not going to be something that's going to harm him or Karen in his view, but enough to get some statements out to the jury. And of course, you know, disregard that, jurors, but it's out there. It's out there. People have heard what they've heard. And it seems that he's doing a lot of that. I don't know how effective it's going to be this round. Again, it felt very much like it was arguing a lot of weird semantics on the part of Karen Reed. The other piece that I'm trying to wrap my mind around and try to understand where they're coming from, it was Karen arguing it outside of court, I believe Friday of the second week, where it's something about the accountability of Jen McCabe. She's the one who called 911. I'm not quite sure what Karen is trying to argue, that Jen didn't care about him and no one else called 911. It didn't make a lot of sense compared to what reality was. Can you shine any light on where they're trying to go with that argument of Jen not caring about the well-being of John O'Keefe in those moments?
Yeah, it was really something. So she's the only one who does call 911.
Mm-hmm.
They try to point out that she said, "There's a man on the lawn,"
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, crying and being hysterical. But I think we can tell by the way she testifies and by what she says, she is not one to get rattled.
No.
And her explanation was, "Listen, I was trying to get forth information."
Yeah.
So I'm not going, I don't need to say it's John O'Keefe. And can you imagine that, you know, many people would do that. She did it perfectly.
Yeah.
There's a man on the lawn. This is what I know. This is the situation. And she did it great. And I think that's from her background being a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're coaching in a basketball game and things are getting hairy and sticky, yeah. you never want to come unraveled. She's just a very together woman.
Yeah.
And they tried to extrapolate from her controlled, you know, words to 911 that she somehow didn't care. It made no sense.
Oh, my God. She was the grown-up in the room. She was the one that was calm. So they're arguing because she wasn't hysterical like Karen Reed was, that somehow is a fault to her because she was calmly communicating what needed to be done in an emergency. That's the type of person you want in an emergency.
Right. At least she didn't say there was a buffalo on the lawn.
Oh, my God. He's like
Karen
a buffalo.
Said, right? Yeah.
He's like a buffalo on
yeah, literally.
I saw that, and I saw Alan Jackson, and he just kind of you can tell when he's kind of cringing, but not saying it out loud and not really trying to show it. But you can tell he's kind of feeling it, like Jesus, how dumb is she? Like, what is she gonna say? Why are they letting her talk? Why is he not just being like, let's move on, Karen? Because every single day they already got all the clips, they already got all the interviews that are out there that are damning her. Why are they letting her continue to talk? None of this is helping her case.
No, I agree. And in one day, they wouldn't let her talk, I don't think. I mean, she didn't talk. And I said, oh, finally, they've muzzled her. Smart, you know? And then sure enough, the next day, she cannot help herself.
No.
She thinks so much of herself.
Yeah.
And she thinks that everybody thinks so much of her that she can convince anyone of anything. And that's why she did all these documentaries. Mm-hmm. This is all about her and aggrandizing herself. It's really something. I did want to bring up, though, another point that they tried to bring out that I thought was Alan Jackson's biggest mistake of his entire cross.
Mm-hmm.
He's needling her. He's clapping his hands. You know, why didn't your sister come out? Why didn't they come out?
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't you afraid? This is the worst cross I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Why weren't you afraid for your sister that was in the house when there's a murdered man or a dead man out on the lawn? And it was perfect. It was like putting a huge tennis ball on a golf tee.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim McCabe says, well, because there was a broken taillight, Karen Reed was screaming she hit him. And basically, I wasn't worried about anything inside the house. I was worried about what happened out here. Where's that effect? And she kind of goes through the case in small, short version. And Alan Jackson realizes it, tries to interrupt her, but she's able to finish her answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really big moment for Alan Jackson failing.
I wonder if Alan is having any regrets yet. Like, got a lot of publicity on this one, but I don't know that it's like landing very well. I mean, came across a lot stronger on the first trial. This one's like, maybe this isn't the one you want to hang your hat on. I don't know.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed. In the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.